This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
214 days away from week zero, that Navy-Notre Dame showdown over in Ireland should be a whole lot of fun.
I think it's Tom Rinaldi on Irish vacation, I believe.
I hope so.
Yes, he joins us now on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you get the Ireland trip, right? That's not a bad way to start the year this coming season.
That'll be great, as week zero, this is year two of week zero. So I guess all we're doing is expanding the college football season, and I don't know that that's going to make anybody particularly unhappy around your part of the world.
You know, where we are, obviously Nick Saban, a pretty important, powerful guy. You seem to really have a good relationship with Coach Saban going back over the years. What do you remember about that first meeting ever with Nick Saban?
That it did not go very well, guys. That's what I can tell you pretty clearly. The first time I did a sit-down with Coach Saban was the week prior to his scheduled return, the first time he was bringing the Tide to LSU. Remember, of course, he had had great success in Baton Rouge, then gone to the NFL for a couple of seasons, and then arrived in Tuscaloosa. So he was bringing the team back, and I was asking him questions about that, several more questions than I'm sure he wanted to answer. And at the conclusion of the interview, it was pretty clear that I'd gone past whatever the expected threshold was of that number of questions. And to his credit, while he was annoyed, I tried to engage him about that and tried to legitimize to him why we were asking the questions that we were, why there was such interest in his return to that school that week. And perhaps because I got a little bit of the true glass furnace that can be Coach Saban and got through that, maybe the clay then turned into the pottery. I don't know. Whatever metaphor you want to use, but that's how it started. So it didn't get off on the greatest foot, I can tell you that.
Well, but you guys do have a special relationship. I had a chance to fill in and host his coaches show this year, and there was a couple of times he gave me a look like, you're not Tom Rinaldi. I mean, you could see it in his face. To develop a relationship, not just with Nick Saban, but some of these coaches, how important is that to what you do, Tom?
Well, it's very important, and I've been very lucky. Coach Saban has been very kind to me, more than cordial, meaning, guys, that when things have happened in my life, when I've suffered loss in my life, Coach Saban and Miss Terry have reached out. They've expressed kindness. They've expressed interest in our children. They've been really exceptional in that regard, well beyond the simple interactions. I don't know that they're simple, but the interactions that you see when we cover a game or cover sport and prepping, that's come over time. I think that rapport and those connections, that comfort, that only comes over time. And some of that, guys, comes from the ability that we have on game day to tell feature stories. And sometimes those stories are about the coaches and their families. You know, a couple of seasons ago, we told the story of Ed Orgeron and Kelly Orgeron and the health scare she went through where she nearly died and the real challenges she had for that period in her life and how Ed helped her get through that. Or telling the story of Nick's relationship with his mom and the pivotal moment after Nick lost his dad very suddenly and unexpectedly and thought he was going to leave coaching and come back and run the filling station that the family had owned, and his mother telling him, no, you're not. That's not why we sent you to college. Or Dabo and his mom, something that we did this year on the day of the national championship. His mother suffered from polio and suffered far greater than her children really ever knew. She made a scrapbook for each of her sons and gave that to them just a few years ago with the true story, an incredible story of her childhood, almost 10 years in the Birmingham Crippled Children's Hospital. So through stories like that, I think you guys can imagine that's where perhaps a connection begins to grow between a coach and a reporter.
To bring that full circle, by the way, Tom will be in town, Tom Rinaldi of ESPN, speaking to the Monday Morning Quarterback Club. which is basically was created to help raise money for to cure polio with the Crippled Children's Foundation. That's crazy full circle there in that Dabo story.
Isn't that remarkable? And so when you take the 30,000 foot view, right, and you talk to Dabo and you talk to Carol McIntosh's mom about the role that football has played in each of their lives, in their family life, that Carol would tell you that as a child that suffered from polio in a hospital that was built and funded by the incredible work that this philanthropic club does, a club of people that formed around their love of football, but they've taken that love and found a way to harvest it and harness it and put such incredible good in the world. And the fact that when Dabo first became a head coach and would take his teams to visit children in hospitals, how much that would touch his mother, and that he really didn't know the depth of that feeling in his mother until just a few years ago. Really incredible.
Tom Rinaldi with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. I'm curious, you've told a million stories on game day, and many of them are very, you know, they tug at the heartstrings. They're very emotional. And different ones stick with different fans or fan bases. Is there one in particular, a couple that have stuck with you more than others?
I get asked that a lot, guys, and I think, you know, as you're doing each of these stories, what you're trying to do most is honor the incredible trust that people are placing in you to share the most precious territory in their lives, to share these stories with the country. And whether that's a story, guys, like Tyler Trent, who really captivated so much of the sport in his fight with cancer, and what he did for the Purdue program, the job that Jim Mojahowski did this year with the Casey O'Brien story. I could go through many, many stories. Henry Ruggs and his bond with his best friend, who is the one who really foresaw his path. Henry saw himself as a basketball player. His best friend, Rod, who had told him, no, in fact, basketball is really your calling. So many stories we have the opportunity to tell. And college football is an incredible canvas to tell them. There's such great passion and incredible stories across the sport. And at a time, guys, and I'll get off my soapbox here in a second, but at a time when so much is divisive in our country, where there's so much discord and division, I think sport remains a special, special refuge from that, where we are able to sometimes showcase some of the greatest parts of our spirit, our collective strength and will, and how we can be united. And some of these stories, I think, at times show how through the sport of college football, we're able to see some of that collective strength and goodness.
Your stories have brought a lot of people to tears. Do you remember the last movie that made you cry, or a movie that always makes you cry?
Well, my wife is not here. And if she were, I don't know if she would even allow me to give you this answer, because it is so incredibly pathetic. But I'll go for it and I'll tell you. Before I do, what would you say is the most traditionally tear-jerking movie?
Old Yeller or Brian's Song?
Okay, right. So Brian's Song, of course, would be my answer. Now the problem is that my wife would say, why would you watch that? Why would you watch that again? What are you doing? What is wrong with you? How about watching Dumb and Dumber? How about that?
I'm the crier on the show, and I always wonder, do you have like a John Tesh in your life that just provides the music? Is it especially Rinaldi music, or where do you pull this stuff from? Because that beat hits at the right time, and I don't care if I'm eating a cinnamon roll or what, I have to push it aside when I'm watching game day because I know it's going to get soggy.
Well, I could tell you this, guys. I'm not on social media. I'm not on any social media platforms, and that's a long story for another day. But every once in a while, someone will share a post with me one of the funnier posts. Well, here are two of them. One was, I guess somebody had seen me getting on a flight, not an uncommon occurrence in my life, and said, how does he get the piano into the overhead? I thought that was pretty good. Another one was the two people you never want to see in your town, Jim Cantore of the Weather Channel and Tom Rinaldi from the SCN. That's pretty tough.
That is good. But and you've been some of the amazing ones you've done, but there's got to be a pit in your stomach sometimes. Like, and I know we've laughed a lot. This is a difficult one to watch about the Children's Hospital in Iowa, and you're interviewing Kirk Ferentz, and all you do is warn him that we're about to talk about why your family made a donation, and he breaks down. You don't even ask the question, Tom. You just warn him, hey, Kirk, heads up, we're about to get into some difficult territory. There's got to be a pit in your stomach, right, knowing those questions are coming.
There is, but what I've found, and I'm sure you guys have found this too, in what you do professionally when you interview folks as well as in your own lives, that it can be far more difficult or awkward to speak around something. And I think sometimes, you know, the greatest respect you can pay the subject in a story is to, in a caring way, is to be direct. And I think in that case, and I'm sure you guys have been around Kirk Ferentz, who's just an incredible man, that we found in putting that story together that what could say more than the purity of his reaction there? And for those in the audience that don't know, Kirk and his wife, they donated $1 million to the Iowa Children's Hospital. And they were prompted to do that with a terrible loss of a grandchild. And that's why the Iowa Children's Hospital is so important to them. And to try to broach that with somebody, the greatest loss you can have, the breaking of the generational cycle, even in bringing it up, Kirk reacted the way he did, and we felt as though that was the definitive representation of the depth of his feeling. That's why we presented it that way.
I know Fowler enjoys getting away from college football and doing the Australian Open and his tennis or a stiff bourbon. You when you get away from college football with tennis coverage or the Masters, how much do you enjoy the other sports? And is it sort of a cleansing palate to get to do those other stories away from college football?
I love them all. Listen, I won the lottery, guys. I have the greatest gig going. I love the tennis. I haven't gone to Australia. I went for 8 years. I haven't gone into the past several years because I've been doing a bit more NBA. I did Zion's debut in New Orleans last week. And I'm doing, you know, maybe 8 or 10 sideline games a season. I just did, obviously, the tragedy that happened with Kobe. I wrote the obituary. I was part of the ABC ESPN special with Robin Roberts and Michael Strahan. So there are other stories, other assignments that I've become a part of. But whether it be the golf or the tennis or NBA or the most overarching, which is the stories that touch all sport, it's just a great privilege. It's a great, great spot, and it's a balance of being able to tell stories while also being connected to the immediacy and the urgency and the electricity of event coverage, from sideline or from interviews or whatever those postings might be. It's just a terrific, terrific gig.
Tom will be in town with the Monday Morning Quarterback Club. It is a sold-out event. But, Tom, we do appreciate your generosity in helping, as you described it, as well as anyone could, a very generous organization there. So we appreciate you helping out there.
Listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir there, guys, but, you know, the Monday Morning Quarterback Club, there are a lot of clubs that get together, and they do a lot of good and put a lot of good in the world. But if you're going to talk about the godfather of such organizations, it's in Birmingham. What this group does, what it continues to do, what it has done is astounding. And I think anyone who can be a part of that and share in the good that this group does You know what we find, guys? Sometimes it's actually when we give things away, when we give of ourselves, that's actually what fills us up. It seems so counterintuitive, but I think this club is a great proof of that.
Very well said. Thank you very much, Tom. Safe travels. Look forward to seeing you here in town.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Take care. That is Tom Rinaldi of ESPN with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Your favorite retailer has it now. Three flavors, strawberry, mango, or black cherry. Only 100 calories, 2 carbs, and gluten-free.
What a great interview there with him. Enjoyed listening to him tell his stories.